and Lucasinho's father, Lucas, has taken the boldest step of all. The moon believes him dead, but he escaped to VTO's orbiter and over the course of a year, transformed himself into something felt to be impossible. A moonborn, capable of surviving Earth's gravity. Not for long, just enough for him to cement deals he has been making while looping between moon and Earth. He forms a consortium of terrestrial governments, corporations, capital funds, and with the Vorontsovs and their orbital mass driver, as a deadly space-based weapon, seeks to take back what was stolen from his family. He also brings back Alexia, the first Earth-born Korta in two generations to brave the glory and terror of the moon. To succeed, first Lucas must sow confusion. His mother, Adriana, founder of Korta Elu, implanted attack code inside the control systems of Crucible, the Mackenzie's immense foundry train. A simple command, issued by Alexia after Lucas is almost killed by liftoff from Earth, destroys Crucible. Lives are lost, including Robert Mackenzie, CEO of Mackenzie Metals. His sons, Duncan and Bryce, battle for control of the company. Duncan controls the traditional refining industry, Bryce the helium-3 business taken from the Kortas. Their vicious civil war threatens to engulf the whole moon and destabilize the vital helium-3 market upon which Earth depends. Lucas has his opportunity and strikes. The moon is an industrial colony, not a nation-state. It has no defenses. Combat units drop from orbit to storm and occupy key infrastructure sites. VTO's mass driver threatens the whole near side of the moon. The dragons fight back, but when Tevay, the prime agricultural site for the whole moon, is besieged, there is no option but to surrender in the face of starvation. In the chaos, Lucasinho and Luna escape from besieged Tevay, but find themselves marooned on the surface with the only path to safety, a perilous trek through the fringes of the invasion. When Luna's suit is compromised, Lucasinho gives her his last breaths of air. She brings him to safety, but can even a moonrunner survive that long without oxygen? Terrestrial machines and mercenaries occupy Meridian. Jonathan Kayota is defenestrated, and Lucas Korta, a shadow of his former self, physically ruined by the harshness of his visit to Earth, is installed as Eagle of the Moon, with Alexia as his iron hand. His first job is to try to recruit Ariel to his side, but she refuses, though it puts her in great danger. Every one of the four dragons wants leverage, and Kortas are hostages of choice. Bryce Mackenzie makes an attempt to capture Robson Korta, but is foiled. Wagner and Robson escape to the comparative safety of Theophilus in the Sea of Tranquility. Lucas Korta is triumphant. The moon is his. What will he do with it? 1. Eight figures escort the casket across the Sea of Fecundity. Four to carry, one at each handle. Four to guard the cardinal directions. North, south, east, and west. They shuffle in heavy armored shell suits. Dust scuffs high from their boots. When carrying a casket, coordination is everything, and the bearers have not yet learned the required rhythm. They lurch, they jolt, they leave smeared tracks, blurred footsteps on the regolith. They move like walkers unaccustomed to walking on the surface of the moon, to the suits they wear. Seven white shell suits, and one, the last, scarlet and gold. Each white suit bears an emblem out of time and place, a sword, an axe, a fan, a mirror, a bow, a crescent moon. The lead walks with the aid of a furled umbrella, silver-tipped, the handle a human face, one half living, one half naked bone. The tip stitches precise holes in the regolith. It has never rained in the Sea of Fecundity. The casket has a porthole. This would be unseemly in a coffin. This is not a coffin.